This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Cleaning my retainers with bleach and UV light, and I get caught doing this by my neighbor. I'm doing it out on the porch, and I'm facing their house, and I'm nude because I'm on my property.
Mm-hmm.
And my neighbor, well, you know him, Robert Davi. So
okay.
So he starts, you know, and you know how he is, real pain in the ass, this guy.
Yeah.
It starts being like, hey, you got to throw your robe on, or you got to put on a towel. And you know how he sounds. And I'm going like, all right, fair enough. Didn't know you were up. I mean, of course, you know, it's pretty early in the morning at this point. It's 4 a.m. It's dark out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, how do you even see? And he's got night vision goggles on.
Yeah, and you also have a UV light that you're using to...
Well, I've got the UV light, but it's pointed directly in my mouth. And he says, what are you doing over there? I said, I'm cleaning my retainers. And he says, you're supposed to take them out. And I said, how about I take you out, old man? Hi-ya! And I start showing him some of my karate.
Okay.
Let me ask you, did
he come all the way up onto your front porch to talk to you about this? Or did you... By the time the conversations got to this point, because now it sounds like you're in like close physical proximity.
We're drifting towards each other.
The
and
whole
he's
time
also...
you're both moving toward each other.
Well, slowly though, and also he's, I think, got some kind of drone backpack on because he starts hovering over me.
A drone backpack.
Yeah, which I hadn't seen before, but he's kind of flying just over me. And as mad as I am, I'm realizing this son of a bitch is right. Like, you know, sometimes you can get some helpful knowledge from an unlikely source because I shouldn't be putting bleach in my mouth or shining a UV light in there. And I probably should put on a robe or something. So, I don't want to apologize because I have a lot of pride.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Davi certainly is just the kind of guy who he would get so much satisfaction from me saying. So in order to double down, I go, no, it's fine. I'm supposed to leave him in. Watch this. I swallow the bleach and the light. Now I need his help.
Yeah.
I am sick. He's, to his credit, he goes, oh, no.
That's really nice.
Hooks his arms under my armpits. And luckily, he's wearing this drone backpack. And he essentially medevacs, like, you know... He becomes a sort of helicopter and he drops me off on the roof of Cedars and they found me eventually. You know, I'm okay.
Yeah, that's not where you're supposed to. There's no like pickup area up there.
Well, yeah, I think he thought there was a helipad. I didn't see the kind of symbol up there. But at any rate, some guy came out there to smoke a doobie. And he finds me, rolls me down the stairs, and somebody took care of something. But I owe the guy a houseplant or something.
Welcome to Hollywood Handbook,
Hollywood
and
Handbook
Insider's Guide to Kicking Butt and
dropping
names
in
the red carpet
linebacker
closet of this industry we call showbiz. I love this. Like seeing we have guests on the show, we
my
have like
guys.
Friends that we get to know over the years, and in this like world that we're all just kind of like. Bouncing around and we're meeting each other. We're like forming these
it's true.
Relationships.
We meet each other. We do.
And then to watch them meet each other and have something blossom with them, a new podcast. They do their own
and
show.
And I believe we introduced them. And I think we said, you guys should do something, you know?
You guys, yeah.
Just Mr. Like, you know, so sorry, we should say Matt Guitar Man Gorley,
mm-hmm.
The fucking Axe Man himself. The executioner.
Mm-hmm.
is in the zone with us.
What's up, guys?
The bastard executioner.
The bastard executioner. That's perfect.
I'm Axe Body. Hey!
And Paul?
Yes. Hello. I just Paul. Go by Paul now. Like just Madonna Paul. Or Cher.
Come on. That's all just we Paul. Need. I know who you meant. It's Paul.
And instead Paul. Of casting a Paul over the proceedings, Paul is casting a podcast. And he's doing it with Matt and
the guitar. It's this,
and it's this movies you like you talk about these movies. There's like I think a great synchronicity with like the shows that we're doing because we talk about movies, we talk about shows, we talk about video game, comic book. Yes, we've been like we do this.
Yeah,
but
music, video game, comic book, shows.
Yes, movies, exactly. But we don't talk about stuff that's like gross and perverted and like that's like depraved and like we don't
pornography.
Yeah, body yes. mutilation, pornography.
Oh,
we see like
we don't talk about that either. Is that what you're insinuating?
We've never talked about pornography on our podcast.
Oh, I guess to me it's pornography.
What? It just horror movies are?
The way you experience them seems to be, yes.
Oh.
Oh, well, I mean, from my perspective, I guess I think of, you know, a horror movie or a soap opera or, you know, a prestige television show.
Mm-hmm.
They're all the campfire that we sit down to tell stories.
Yeah, and if people don't watch these and experience them, there's even an argument to be made of like repression and pent up. See, these are cathartic in a way. So I think in some ways, you guys might be doing yourself a disservice and are in a way kind of pornographic.
Cowboy TV.
That not watching these movies that feature
exactly.
like...
Yeah, you follow
like a woman's blood. So you watch this movie and like there's a woman's blood everywhere.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I love this movie. I'm gonna do an entire show about
this. You're like, this is entertaining. This is my choice. I could have watched almost anything, but I wanted to see a woman's blood, and then I'm gonna talk about it.
Guys, this is as old as when we were in the caves and we'd get scared of the shadows.
Yeah.
And we'd call the shadow Beastie. Or we call the shadow Moon Creature.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I do remember that.
Okay.
I do remember saying that. Okay, and Moon
honestly,
Creature, I'll take the hit. I said that. This,
I wasn't that scared. I was observing it. And I was definitely being aware of it and cautious about it.
I was
it.
Using a healthy amount of caution. I absolutely didn't want to be unnecessarily risky in my behavior. So, yes, I suppose I screamed, got under a rock.
Yeah.
But that's actually just respecting the cave shadow. Moon Creature.
Have you guys seen Moon Creature 2? Because that's when it really kicks in. See, the thing is, you might just be seeing some of these early prototype shadow puppet horror stories. But it's really when the franchise gets rolling that really starts to work.
Do
but
that
to
noise
your
again.
Question about the women's blood, and do we enjoy women's blood?
I did not ask any questions about women's blood because it's not an area of fascination for me.
You sure seem to be talking about it a lot. Am I right, Paul?
I am engaging with our guests for whom this has become an area of focus in their lives is women's blood.
We never brought it up. You brought it up.
It's become your primary interest and you dedicated an entire
this is
show
off the rails.
To it.
This is off the rails.
And Paul got so distracted just thinking about women's blood that when you threw to your co-host to support you and back you up and you said, boy, you seem to be talking about it a lot. Am I right, Paul? Paul was frozen, face frozen with joy, an ecstatic grin stretched across his face because he just had heard the term women's blood so recently.
But if you'd like to answer the question that you're posing, Paul, about like, is this something that's like, that you guys are into or like to sort of explain that, that's fine. I'm happy to hear that, to give you the platform to talk about this.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm definitely into it.
Yeah, me too. Okay. I should have said that.
I love seeing the destruction of human bodies.
I'm wearing some women's blood right now.
But it's male or female, whatever it is. Just to see a representation of somebody's soul leaving their body.
Yes. So it's not about the violence or gore to you. It's just the death.
No, it's just not just about the violence in the
gore. Okay.
There's a spiritual level to it, too. It works on all levels, this pornography.
All this really cool stuff like death. Okay, you just called it pornography. What? I don't know if you even caught your, if you even noticed you were doing that. You referred to it as pornography.
Well, that's silly. I mean, if I did that, then I would have been saying it, but I didn't. I mean...
That's pro-porno.
Yeah.
The fact that you would even say that is pro-porno.
I mean, this is... Okay. I think you guys...
You mean preposterous.
You're making me feel so far away.
Yeah, it doesn't sound anything like preposterous.
Anyway, pornography.
Let's talk about the show. It's called all these different things.
It keeps changing, right? Every time the SEO guys must be pulling their hair out because every time I look, it's something new.
Well, we just settled on its final name.
Okay.
Pornography.
That's
the name of the show.
That's
is
the
pornography.
Name of
so
your
I don't
podcast?
Know if you I don't know if you heard that.
Again, that's not gonna the search results are not gonna pull you guys up first.
Well, I think if we get enough listeners, we will. And with a name like that, it's going to be hard not to.
I think if you put pornography in quotes, you'll get our podcast.
Yeah.
I don't want to try it, but Kevin, see what comes up if you put pornography in quotes and search for it.
Okay. Hope you like podcasts.
It auto-filled when he put the quote in.
It's just a lot of blur.
The band?
Uh-oh. Yeah, it's a lot of the band's like early albums.
Woohoo!
What are some of the some
it's
of
a
these
show with Matt and Paul? Woohoo! Right?
Yeah, where were you guys when that video dropped on 120 minutes?
Probably helping my grandma.
Mm-hmm. A hot Sunday night.
It was hot. Because I was helping her cook.
I get you.
That's the sound. First of all, I can't really tell where it comes from or how he does it. Oh my gosh. Again.
It's almost he's holding something in his hand that's making
he must. That sound. He must have something. No.
Wow. Let's talk about the different movies. There's Freddy Krueger movie.
Mm. Look, there's not just Freddy Krueger movie, like funny movie or scary movie. You know, it's called Nightmare.
No, it's called Space Jam 2. Oh, it's called.
Yeah, it's just not Freddy Krueger movie.
Okay.
So it's a bit insulting because this is kind of our field of expertise is what we work in. And I just want you to respect it.
It is a Nightmare on Elm Street.
Thank you.
So my experience primarily with Freddy Krueger movie is through the song Nightmare on My Street. Is My Street Elm Street in that song?
I don't know. What's your street called?
In the song?
No, in real life.
Which street?
The one you live
on. He's trying to figure out your porno name, Sean. Yeah, yeah. This guy is obsessed with porno. He sees... your cat behind you, and he's going to combine those names, and he's going to make a porno name, and he's going to put you into one of his sinister pornos.
Please,
okay,
will you
well,
call
I live
me?
At, I live at 919 Monster Wingus Avenue.
What is this porno name thing?
Paul, you've never done this?
No, a porno name. It sounds,
dude, it's awesome. Hayes
sounds
came
a little
up with it.
R-rated, maybe
it
even
is
hard R-rated.
Yeah,
maybe it's best to leave that alone.
I can explain. So, what you take is your street from your childhood home and your pet's name, and you combine those, and it creates your porno name.
Your current pet or your childhood pet?
I think it's your first pet.
Okay, my first pet's name was Monster Wingus. That's weird.
Okay. Oh, that's crazy. My first pet was named Dripping. So I guess I would be Dripping Monster Wingus.
That's like being John Malkovich or Saving Private Ryan. Like, that's a tight 90s movie.
with a gerund as the first word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was my first pet's name.
Kevin, so we can do it with Kevin. Kevin grew up, his home, he grew up in like circumstances where his home like basically was a street. So he did grow up on Bartell Street, and he was named after his family's very weird dog. So his porno name is actually Kevin Bartell.
Wow. So are you in porno?
Oh, no, it's frozen.
By default, yes.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so wherever
come on our
Kevin
show?
Goes, that is actually a porno. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Come on our show. Thanks. Happy to be there. Well, we're not there yet, but okay.
We'll be happy to be there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Paul's trying to scare me. I just want to.
Oh, my God. Paul.
Yeah. Paul's being really freaky. It's,
he froze.
Really trying to scare me.
Now I'm back. It froze.
And it follows.
Yeah.
So let's talk, and this is Scary Movies again, right? And let's talk about this.
Yeah, but not the comedies.
We could talk about those, though, if we want to, right? The probably Scary Movie 2 is the one we'd most want to dig into, since this is a comedy podcast.
Why that one? And now why this one? Let's unpack that, Paul.
Please.
Why Scary Movie 2? Why is that one resonating with you the most? Is that the one where the cum is blasting them in the sky?
Stick them to the ceiling. They're stuck to the ceiling with the cum.
No, that's number one. That's Scary Movie 1.
Two is the one with the small hand.
Yes. Chris Elliott's small hand.
Ah, yes.
And David Cross in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I genuinely love those quickly made spoof movies where there's like a spoof of the Nike ad where the shoes start to making sounds and it kind of makes a rhythm. And then you watch the movie 20 years later, you're like, this is on the top of their minds for hot spoofery.
It was something for that day. From the day they made the movie, they're like, oh, this commercial's on today.
Yeah.
Hey, I wonder if we could spoof this thing that happened to me in the parking lot on the way into the... Well, no, that's not what you're supposed to do.
So what is it in Scary Movie 2 that, Paul, to you is that you love? Or is it that?
I think it's that, but I think it's also the What Lies Beneath spoof.
Yeah, they were really focused on What Lies Beneath for that one. In fact, I remember one of the protagonists is wearing that on a t-shirt in the poster where like there's some direct like spoof references. There's like an Exorcist person. It's like you could get some of the references, and What Lies Beneath is implied as just that text.
We're going to need to say it
on the t-shirt.
Hey, this isn't reading necessarily.
Yeah.
Like a good political cartoon.
Mm-hmm. But weren't Harrison Ford and Michelle Pfeiffer wearing that in the original poster for What Lies Beneath?
To be fair, throughout that movie, Harrison Ford is wearing a What Lies Beneath t-shirt.
It's like
a crew shirt, I think, that they were too afraid to ask him to take off.
Which one was the Signs one?
That was a Scary Movie 3.
Aha. Okay. And right. Mr. Simon Rex, I believe, was the patriarch of the family.
Former adulterer, skin film superstar, Simon Rex.
Now I'm listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we love
recovering
skin
adulterer.
Our other podcast is called Skin Film.
Wow.
Ah, yes.
And another one called
Mister's
Stag. Yes. But Gorley, you're right. We shouldn't just discuss the scary movie spoof movies. There are other.
No, I genuinely want to know which one was the Signs one.
Oh, Scary Movie 3.
Yeah. And if Ferris is in that?
Yeah, and it goes down in quality because they bring the Zuckers in. to start mm-hmm. making them. They kick out the Wayanses.
The Wayans, who are a little
truly yeah. become less funny.
Can I? So, and I hope this doesn't offend anyone. Oh, so boy. You referred to Simon Rex as an adulterer.
I think anybody who's ever done adult films is cheating on whoever they're in a relationship yeah. with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because so in your mind, Simon Rex had an affair.
Yes.
And here he is in the movie with Anna Faris.
Oh. Anna Faris.
You want to come on our podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I'll do basically anything. I'll go on, but I want you to know that it won't be because of your podcast. It will be because of me and what's wrong with me.
Hey, man, it works both ways. It's a win-win.
It's a Giamatti.
Did you guys watch the Giamatti Awards this year?
Yeah, win-win swept.
I know.
I just can't watch it without a host, you know? I know. I mean, for me, it's like... Yeah.
But we're from the comedy world. Yeah. Of course Billy. We want to see a stand-up a comic kill up on that stage.
Come on.
That's us. That's us up there. The clowns. We need the clowns there.
Something to aspire to. Somebody to poke a little fun at these self-serious, you know.
Maybe with a dweebs. Beer in their hand.
Right?
Yeah.
Sorry, we're not kissing your ass for the entire night. We're going to actually... make you taste a little bit of medicine as well, and it'll be good for you. Puncture the ego, the massive ego. Maybe if the comedian's on stage, all your heads will fit inside the door. We won't have to do it on Zoom next time.
Hey, I nominate you host.
Yeah.
Hey, I can't do it.
Why? You said you'd do anything.
I know, but as Meatloaf once said.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Two out of three ain't bad.
Have you guys seen Spice World recently?
I watch
like,
it.
Are you talking like last couple days or last couple weeks?
I watch it. Me and my friends went and threw candy at the screen.
Yeah, I went on Super Bowl Sunday to say fuck you to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was my first movie back, Spice World.
Oh, they
just
did that.
Finally felt normal again sitting in a theater watching Spice World. Throwing candy at the screen with my friends.
That, the lights went out and I went, we're back, baby!
Meatloaf has a cameo part as the tour bus driver. Oh, and one of the girls comes out and is like, oh, Meatloaf, the bathroom broke, the water closet it broke down. Right? And then, can you clean it, is the joke. Can you go clean it? Mm-hmm. And he goes, girls... I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
And they say, he is Meatloaf, and they say, nah. Meatloaf, you're driving this.
Yeah, he's a tour bus driver?
This bus?
That'd be better.
Oh.
Because it was more of a, he's just a regular schmo, but yeah. A wink, wink.
Right.
A loaf wink.
God, I love remembering movies.
I know.
Yeah. I know. Especially ones from podcasting. When I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. Podcasts, such a beautiful way to remember movies with your friends.
It is.
But if you can monetize it, then
yeah, it's a win-win.
Yes.
Yeah, because I would be remembering movies anyway. I'd just be doing it alone at my house.
Yeah. And if no one's there to remember a movie with you, did it get remembered?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's Sean, I saw you recently watch the most recent Christopher Nolan movie. And you were a guy who momentarily didn't understand it. And
yeah,
this
so this
really
was my...
had a very long life. This was that was like 3 or 4 months ago, I think. But
this was my first step into
really power.
Front-facing comedy videos. I had to get in the pool. It just looked like everyone was splashing around and having so much fun. I said, well, I know how to swim a little bit. Let me throw on my swimmies and get in here. And so I did this character that, yeah, people have been talking about it a lot, even more lately, I think, than when it came out. I was a character who very briefly was confused by one aspect of the Christopher Nolan film, Tenet. But then it was quickly resolved as I figured out, ah, yes, all the clues were there. And he had actually explained it. And it was on me.
Now, Sean, I don't know if you saw this, and maybe it's just like a case of parallel thinking. Hmm. But did you see last Friday's episode of Fridays? They did a bit that was very similar to that. So I don't know if
Fridays did that?
I don't know if any of the writers for Fridays follow you on Twitter.
Wait, can I say which performer on Fridays was it? Because that will actually, I think...
That informs a lot.
About like whether this is something they came up with on their own or something that they might have.
Who was it, Gourley? Because we watched it together on Friday night and we turned to each other and were like, they ripped off Sean's bit. Was it Michael Richards?
Hey, I don't want to accuse anyone.
Robin Duke?
Was it? Yeah, it might have been. Was it Martin Mull or am I thinking of Fernwood Tonight?
We were staying at a Red Roof Inn when we were watching that.
And we were just eating at a Red Lobster and a TGI Fridays.
We had diarrhea.
We were eating at Red Fridays and watching Red Dawn.
What a big Friday night.
You guys on Letterboxd?
Wow. Yeah, you guys on Letterboxd?
You are? Do you box?
So I was on Letterboxd.
What happened?
My ideas about some of these movies were too smart. And a bunch of people got together and was just like, hey, we're not ready for these ideas yet. We understand that it's us.
Yeah.
That we are the problem in this case. But yeah, this stuff is just way, way, way too smart for us. I use the phrase character development in every review that I wrote. And,
did you say a lot that a city plays a character?
Yeah, and just like my criticism is always that the character development was undercooked, and people were like,
"You had
wow,
mentioned
that's
to
really
me that
smart.
one of the films you watch, and this actually, I had to go take a walk when I heard this that you had found some third act problems.
I said third act problems. Yeah. Every single time I said it had plot holes that you could drive a 16-wheeler through. That's a phrase that.
I know too
I use
that you
every were, review
you were saying like you would never say like this director of photography shot this film. You'd always say this DP lensed this.
The lingo.
It was lensed by Deakins. It was lensed by the Pfister. You know,
stuff was getting helmed as well. Yeah,
yeah, a lot of stuff was helmed.
Directors are helmers in my reviews. Yes.
Yeah, and tombed for costumed. You're using apostrophe tombed. Upped for makeup. I guess I get why people ran you off there with pitchforks and torches.
Yeah, too smart for me.
I thought I was on Letterboxd. I really thought I was there for a while, and I was really enjoying the site and the user experience. I as it turns out, I was reading the lyrics to the Pearl Jam song Yellow Ledbetter. Which I guess I don't
Paul
know.
Paul has gone out of frame.
On my part, but that, you know, that is what I was doing. Some pretty powerful ideas in there that made me see movies differently, you know. Yeah. But yeah, that was, you know, it wasn't Letterboxd. And then by that time, I was all tuckered out. I had to go to bed.
You were really tired. I remember that day.
I was sleepy.
Yeah, I tried to go to Letterboxd too.
What happened?
It didn't work out.
Oh yeah.
What happened instead?
And then I guess I'll have one after this too.
Yeah, what happened instead? Instead of going to Letterboxd, I went to Litterboxd.
Oh.
Oh,
and a big bag of litter got dumped on my head when I downloaded the app.
Oh, no.
Paul.
And then a cat pooped on me.
Oh, Paul. No, the cat pooped on your head.
Yeah, wow. It was a heightening for sure.
Tell me it didn't try to bury it in your hair.
It buried it in my hair, and then it was an egg.
Oh, Paul, man. No.
Cats put... Look at that cat. And Sean, does she sense... He sense that I'm doing cat talk right now? Doesn't like it?
I think he can feel it, yeah. And he's going, hey, what's my name doing in your mouth, Paul? I got to walk over there and knock it out of there.
Hey, guys, I went to Letterboxd.
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay. All right.
We had
hey, guys, Matt went to Letterboxd.
Like this.
Hey, everyone.
Matt,
Yeah.
So the premise here is Matt went to Letterboxd.
So I went to Letterboxd and I see Layla Ali and she's like, I don't need no permission to box. And then
let her box. Yeah.
She said, thank you very much. She showed me the door.
She's saying that to the app, the site.
Well, I mean, I went into a room and there was a couple of like referees there and Layla Ali. And without understanding the context, without even taking size of the room, I just said, Letterbox! And they were taken aback. And Layla Ali just looked at me as like, I don't need your permission to box.
Yeah,
what
so
I do.
Even if she needed permission, you know, she wouldn't, and you wouldn't have that authority.
And I felt stupid and I left and I've never been back.
To that room?
Letterboxd, the room.
Okay.
I have reviewed the room on Letterboxd. But
so I like this. So just a little housekeeping. Kevin, what I think I want to do is in the edit, can you put Matt's before Paul? because I actually think it would get a pretty good pop if it had just come first. But Paul's is... It's more humiliating, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think they're both strong. They should both be in here. But let's just flip them in the edit.
You got it.
Well, to that point, Sean, shouldn't yours go last?
Oh, God. I would never, you know, as the host, I think it was kind of cool that I, like, you know, shoved us off to shore. And also, you guys were really playing very close to the language. I mean, the, mm-hmm. you know, litter
closer than Sean
way
was,
closer
yeah.
than me mine yeah. was a pretty long walk
yeah so also, Kevin if we could just lose Sean's altogether and then I'll go first and then Paul
yeah
if we can get mine out yeah and then actually if we could just take me out of the episode I don't want to do this
I also liked what a weasel I was that after you shit on us I was like but you should go last because yours was the best what deranged psychology
You'll always be
of
welcome
that
back.
Like I will lick the boots more sir
yeah no that's the opposite of the philosophy that you should take on one of these shows just come out here and tell everyone else that their shit sucks yeah
just go at the host
mm-hmm.
that's what Hayes and I do
yeah
Hey gang, looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the mom in your life? Well, Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You can find the hottest, most beautiful pictures of your mom for Aura's annual MILG event. MILG, that's Mom I'd Like to Gift. This Mother's Day, let your mom know you'd love to gift her. She's a MILG. Tell her that. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts, even the friends in your life, they all can be MILGs. They're moms, and you'd like to gift them. So go ahead and find the most gorgeous pictures of your MILG, upload it to an Aura frame, give it to her, and you will be awarding her with the best digital photo frame as named by Wirecutter. Selected as one of Oprah's favorite things? Okay, that's big MILG energy. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to MILGs of all ages. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. That's right, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Celebrate your MILG!
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in like in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to like smoke down a big ass tree right now. And like they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math. I had 5 million. Each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/the boys. That's rocketmoney.com/the boys. rocketmoney.com/the boys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hollywood Handbook. In the same tradition as a Rennie Harlan, when he had his talk show, he would circle rib people. the director of Die Hard 2 and the Cliffhanger.
Yeah, and Nightmare on Elm Street.
Sorry.
Yeah, he helmed which Nightmare on Elm Street, Paul?
The Elm.
Four.
Did Rennie help Cutthroat Island?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Wow.
Knew it. And he took that cutthroat approach to his talk show, huh?
Yeah, I wish he'd maybe cut throat some of the budget on Cutthroat Island. But
you just wish it was cheaper.
That was your criticism.
Too much money on screen.
I love this movie, but it's frankly irresponsible.
Oh, it outrages me when I see the amount of the millions they're throwing at these.
It's so wasteful.
I looked at the latest that Transformer movie. $3 million.
Get out of here.
That's a lotto ticket.
Buying one or winning one?
It's got to be a winning one, right?
It's $3 million to buy a lotto ticket these days.
Wow. How messed up is our economy?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been mixed up since 2008, since the Great Recession.
It's true. It's upside down. It costs that much to buy. You'd save so much not buying lotto tickets. Because the price for a lotto ticket's only $2.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
It costs $3 million. Anybody else see a problem here? Yeah, I've got a little bit of an issue with that.
That's your new CNBC show, right? Does anybody see a problem here?
Anybody else see a problem here? I'm sorry. Let's just take a little walk around the grocery store and see what it costs to get a normal box of cereal. Oh, here's cereal I remember from when I was a kid. Lucky Charms and the little leprechaun wanted all his nice marshmallows. Let's just check the price tag. Oh, $4 million. Anybody else see a problem here? Well, I guess I won't get cereal. Well, it's processed, big factory. You know, they've got some overhead. Maybe just a piece of fruit. Hey, here's a nice one. Why don't I buy a tangerine? Let me just turn it over. How much per tangerine? Oh, I see. $8 zillion. Do you see a problem here? For a tangerine? Well, I suppose they're out of season. Let's just walk on down the rest of the aisle. Here we go. A single almond that's out of the fucking container. It fell out. Somebody scooped and it came off the scoop and it's on the ground. How much to pick this up? Oh, I just had to give them the deed to my house. Do you see a problem here?
Thanks.
Yeah, that's a...
Thanks for letting me workshop that.
Can we move that to the front, Kevin?
Mm-hmm. Smart.
The cold money up. Got a lot less on... It was 8 zillion, and then it was a house, but
it was an almond.
But an almond so much cheaper than a tangerine. It makes sense. It's proportionate that it wouldn't cost as much. It was on the floor.
I never said what my house cost.
Oh,
what was your house cost?
Nine zillion.
Nine zillion. two wow. more than the seven.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the housing market's insane right now. That's what it costs. And by the way, I'm living in a damn shoebox and it cost me $9 zillion. Does anybody see the problem here?
I like that you kind of look down to the floor when you said it.
I get in there. I like to get far away from the mic for the catchphrase so that for the people who don't have the video, you know, they won't be able to hear.
They know that something happened and that they have to buy it.
People right. are enjoying it.
It's yeah. like, oh, I could hear that something visual happened.
Yeah.
But I could see you as like, yeah, Andy Rooney, the Gen Z's answer to Andy Rooney.
Mm-hmm. I'd love that role.
Oh, like, what did they, when they did 60 Minutes 2, didn't they bring in Mo Rocca?
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm.
The acerbic wit of a Mo Rocca?
They did have Mo Rocca come in, and yes, he was very critical of some of these current events, for sure, yes.
Wait. You call yourself Almond Rocca, and you just do things on almonds. Can we move that to the back of the show?
We should do like a reverse sort of thing. So you can, if you play it in reverse, it tells you to kill your parents.
Like Tenet. Oh, no.
No, don't do that. Don't
no,
do that.
We, no. We
don't, Kevin?
We
don't
want- Yeah.
We're all laughing about it.
Yeah.
Don't honestly, do Kevin, that don't with the show. That. Honestly, Kevin, don't do that.
Okay. We'll see.
Kevin, don't.
Kevin, also, we'll you don't know. You so don't nervous. Know how to do that. Like, just based on.
I know people who do.
Other, like, sound stuff that's happened with the show.
Engineer Cody?
And, like, just even how, like, often our vocal tracks are, like, lined up in sort of a weird
alphabetically.
Way. Yeah. Like, I just don't think you have it to, like, turn a track backwards and have it say something completely different. If you can do that, then there's a lot of stuff that I would like you to fix.
I turn my screen backwards and I hit upload. That's my secret.
Okay.
But doesn't it download then?
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, if you turn your screen around while it's uploading, it starts downloading everything.
Yeah. This is a George Carlin routine.
Yeah. my dad likes to talk about George Carlin's deplane routine anytime we get on a goddamn plane.
Oh, is he doing that nice and loud for the whole plane to enjoy?
Some people go, has George Carlin resurrected and gotten on my plane?
Well, if he has, have him do Modern Man.
I don't know that one.
Does your dad have a beard and ponytail?
He has the whitest beard and the whitest ponytail and a kind of a tight black.
Mm-hmm.
You're good with materials, fabrics, Gorley. What would you say that material is? That's like turtleneck,
not
but
cotton.
Not yeah. but not a turtleneck.
Is it yes. rayon?
We like know it's not cotton.
The new stuff? You mean like the athleisure? Or are you talking like back in Carlin's day?
Carlin's day, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it would be like a shirt that wasn't. It was a turtleneck material without the turtleneck. Perhaps.
Oh, like God. Yes, and it's not cotton, so maybe it was like a rayon. Like
wait,
a polyester?
Maybe it was cotton.
I mean, yeah, why couldn't it be cotton?
It looked like it would take longer to dry than cotton.
Oh, it was water.
He wore water.
Oh, yeah.
He was wearing, dark water.
Yeah, dark water.
He had
water.
Oh, I forgot George Carlin had that sort of power where he could mold water into different clothes. Shapes.
Water moved around his torso. Yeah.
He was a late stage X-Men where they ran out of shit.
And it
he would
like
just
George
use it
Carlin.
To not be naked.
Dark water, man.
Well, you know, I mean, look, we've talked about Modern Man on the show before. And just to give you a taste of it, Paul, because you may know the routine. Is it the one where he goes like, I know the upside of downsizing. I've seen the downside of upgrading, and I can give you a gigabyte in a nanosecond. I get hate mail from my love child, and I do. It's all like opposite stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's like 9 applause breaks every time he finishes one of his runs.
That's pretty solid Carlin there, Sean.
That was
Thank you.
Yeah. Also, it's fun. Yeah. It's funny that like people are applauding.
He memorized.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
He knows the whole thing. This old man knows it.
Not since Dennis Leary have I felt this way.
Dennis Miller has been on Gorley and I's pod a few times because mm-hmm. we just enjoy his wit, but more his politics.
Yeah.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah,
he's cool. He's got some good old SNL stories and...
Mm-hmm.
That's badass. Yeah. What? I mean, can you give us a juicy tidbit? I mean, this might tempt people behind the paywall for you if you've got like a great Dennis Miller, you know, nugget that could lure them.
Oh, apparently, Dennis Miller. I'd say the third episode of the 85-86 season.
Okay.
The third episode in, on the Friday before a show. He threw Nora Dunn out a window.
That's right. He told us that.
Wow.
Right. I think I heard about this. And when you watch the episode, you can see that her hair is going straight up as if she's falling from a great height.
Yep.
In some of the sketches.
They filmed her sketches, I guess, as she was falling from the window. That's that show, especially in the 80s.
Yeah, it was a little more run and gun, right? Mm-hmm. A little more loose. Now it feels so polished.
Yeah, I loved it back in the days when Dennis Miller would, you know, throw Nora Dunn out a window the night before mm-hmm. a show. It was just the wild days were cool.
There's this one story where he said he went to this room and he opened this room. There are a couple of referees in there. And he goes, Phil Hartman. And that guy goes, I'm already full. Get out of here.
Was it the same room?
Yeah. It's the room where all this kind of joke happens.
No, those refs.
Yeah.
Are they wearing pants or are they wearing shorts?
So Paul, when you set out to ask the question, this is just for me to get inside your process. I'm a fan of your shit, and I just kind of want to be able to understand a little more what was happening. Did you have any of it, or did you bail on what the original thing was? Where did we stall out? Because I'm curious. You don't have to tell me if it was something that you realized, like, oh, this is offensive, or anything else that could have happened. Like... That's okay. You don't have to tell me what it was, but I just want this little window. I think our listeners will really enjoy it.
That was it. That was it. It was offensive, okay. And I changed my mind.
It felt like
well,
that.
I'll never it figure out like what that was. I'm not even going to... There's just no use in even trying.
Well,
there's no information
to
go
Phil Hartman's memory, possibly? Or
those what? Refs.
What's your highest Patreon level? Because maybe we could give them a hint.
We used to have a $25 tier. That's mm-hmm. gone, right?
Still no, there? I think we still do have
it. It's still there. Okay, yeah. Oh, and all that happens
God,
is
I wish I could remember
your name.
What's your guys, your consumer advocate catchphrase?
Oh, right. He had a catchphrase when he'd be outraged about the
Sorry. Does anybody else see a problem with this?
Yeah, $25 Patreon. Wowee.
And all you get is your name Travoltified? I'm sorry. Does anyone else see a problem with this?
We'll add
Maybe
in a
I'm
hint.
The crazy one. Yeah, just checked. I'm not.
Well, as long as they don't invent the thought police, I think I'm okay. But
I do think it was something about Phil Hartman's death. Now that you mentioned it.
I do. Yes, that's what I believe it was.
Yeah.
To do with his
I'll tell you. I'll
passing.
Tell you guys.
Okay, great.
I'll tell you. I think it's funny when like in Foxy Boxing that they'll have like sexy refs, like sexy girl refs. Mm-hmm. And I thought it'd be such a funny detail when you walk into this absurd room. The refs aren't even just ordinary refs. They're like
foxy boxing
refs. Foxy boxing refs.
Okay.
Who would be wearing shorts? But so you sort of did ask.
So he is actually, he was walking Matt to the concept.
So if he had said they were in shorts, he could have said, like, wait a minute, are these foxy boxing refs?
Yes.
And so if he said shorts, then you could, if he said pants, you could say, well, then.
It says pants, just bail on it. Just hit the ejector button.
Yes.
Like, we never should have been in this territory. But if he says shorts, he's complicit. And you've now built together this idea of foxy boxing.
Well, in that case, perhaps they were in certain.
And it seems like it wasn't top of mind then, too, where you, like, you built it from the shorts.
It was bad. It was bad. And the reason I thought Dennis Miller throwing Nora Dunn out a window was problematic, that it seemed misogynistic. And so to have the foxy boxing remark right
now
on the heels of that.
Right on top
now
of
this
it.
Is
oh.
a pattern of behavior
yeah.
so that we need to address.
You know what the foxy boxing refs say, though, at the match, right?
What?
Letterbox.
Can we put that dead center in the episode? Like,
am I the only one seeing crazy things? What is it?
This is good.
Have I been wronged in some way?
Corley can't pull the catchphrase, but he's making so much better shit.
Is this a Twilight Zone day?
Oh, I love it when somebody, you come into a weird situation, like you walk into a room and the windows open and people don't know why. They go, uh-oh. Very funny.
I go, is that door the way out from the upside down?
That's true. The kids do, instead of the nee-nee-nee-nee, they do the upside down music.
Twilight Zone is no longer it, Chief. It is the upside down now.
Oh,
upside
well, down. Am I in the Twilight Zone then?
Yeah, nee-nee-nee-nee.
Back at them. Right once, back at them.
When Stranger Things is more popular than the Twilight Zone with kids, nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee.
That's the real Twilight
Zone. And you might be a redneck.
Yeah.
Wow, that as well.
Oh boy.
Wow. And in the Twilight Zone they say, where's your sign?
Where's your sign? Very creepy. Well, as a self-proclaimed Hufflepuff, I do need to sort of remove myself from this conversation. I'm very conflict averse. So I know you guys are doing all these kind of pop culture references and getting in this big pissing contest, but we Hufflepuffs, this house, we don't really get into all that.
But you answered that poll, so the result would be Hufflepuff.
Yeah, and you tried a lot of times.
Numerous times.
Yeah. And as a proud member of Humble Brag, I would like to say that there's a lot of, I had to make up a lot of jokes.
It's true.
Did I do that?
Okay. Guys, let's just give Matt some space. He's feeling a little pent up. And
let me work.
Clear the paint.
Let me work. All right. Can I have a teaspoon or is it too much to ask? Who's in my house? Intruder alert.
Hollywood Handbook.
Okay, so I do just have to say, we are coming after a cut, and I just want to...
So you probably felt the cut that just happened. We're coming back from a cut. And this is really on us. As hosts, we are supposed to protect our guests, and as they start to indulge some of their worst instincts...
And we will be cutting that, but it was such a joy to watch Matt just like... build up momentum, just be rolling downhill with these voices and accidentally say something problematic. And
when you're rolling downhill, it's not uncommon to roll directly into a brick wall.
And we, you know, we teased this Foxy Boxing stuff out of Paul, and we
it
really
was Paul. Paul planted the seed for this stuff.
Well, that's why I think we should have kept Gorley's Foxy Boxing refs in. The fact that you guys argued to cut it, I had already said it. Why did it matter if Gorley said it again? Whatever. We're not going to have the argument again.
His face when he said it, though.
That was really good. That was a classic cut.
A classic cut for the Pantheon.
They'll be watching it on video, and they'll watch the first two. And let's do Kevin. That he's like, you see him breathe in, and then we cut. After that, and then we cut back.
Sorry to make work for you, Kevin.
This is gonna be. This will be studied. Like, they're going to make a movie where Kevin Costner's in a courtroom, like, slowing down the video.
One day they will be able to figure it out. They'll be able to, like, track the bouncing of every atom in the screen. They'll be able to actually, like, play the clip forward from
computer,
exactly what was happening.
Take
They'll
me off grid
it.
Mode. Put me into speaker view. It's right there.
And
his guitar moved.
Oh, they're not going to have to do that. One of you rats is going to squeal. I know it.
And that $25 bucks, that's my price. It's been
You better watch your back. That's all I'm saying. You better watch your back. I know where you, at least I know what the rooms look like where you live.
You know exactly where I live. 919
Monster Wingus
Monster
Avenue.
Monster Wingus Avenue.
The only rat I'm interested in meeting, the goddamn pizza rat.
Was When's that gonna... the funniest? He's carrying that big slice, and like a true New Yorker, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
right.
And when you live there, you understand.
Yeah, you gotta wait in line for 2 hours to get your slice.
That's what they
I'm
say.
I'm not going to so easily drop my slice.
The slices are so precious, and the rat, I could really relate. I never thought I'd relate to a rat that much, but it really was like watching myself when I was in New York carrying the pizza slice.
Oh, I could relate to a rat. I've seen Breaking Bad. Walter just gets out of hand sometimes.
Yeah.
Is that your cat, Sean?
Yeah, my cat's getting mad. Well, so
I don't
really
think he's getting mad. I think he's getting rad.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Adam Scott's production company.
Yeah. Yep.
So, Royal gets pretty upset when people go after Heisenberg. He says, I'm a total Heisenberg. He says that, you know, who everyone should be mad at is Anna Gunn's character, Skylar, who was the total fun police on that show.
Oh,
and
I
a
hate
real
Skylar.
You hate both.
I hate Walter, but I hate Skylar more.
Really? I hate Walt Jr.
I hate Walter because he's a worm, and I hate Skylar because she keeps him from being a worm.
Yeah, and she was the one that made him do that stuff, basically, by being so stupid.
Yeah. And by the way, she broke her marital vows. Yes.
Yeah. She
How
did.
Do you feel about Jesse Pinkman, bitch?
Yes.
Do you recall he would say this?
Pizza Rat, how do you feel about the pizza on the roof?
Oh, yeah. Pizza. Oh, imagine Pizza Rat comes in and like scurries the pizza away. Oh. Louis C.K. is eating at the beginning of Louis. He eats a pizza. Pizza Rat comes in.
He missed an opportunity with the opening credits for Louie to have a Pizza Rat cameo.
From what I hear, he's never
That's
missed
That's why
an
I don't watch the show anymore. Sorry, Matt. I stepped on the...
That's all right. Let's go again. From what I hear, he never misses an opportunity.
Sorry, did I clap late?
That's all right. Am I being bonkers?
That's your guy. That's your CNBC guy.
Am I being bonkers?
Am I being
So let's
bonkers?
Just do a little of am I being bonkers. Let's not get into the same territories we did last time.
That might take us home.
We'll just, yeah, okay. And we'll just get out on just like a few beats of Am I Being Bonkers.
I'm here at this licorice pizza video rental and music sales store. Let's just take a look at what some of the kids in this store are seeing on these VHS covers. Hot Tub Time Machine? Am I Being Bonkers? Oh, wouldn't you know it? There's a sequel. Not the same actors all around. Am I Being Bonkers? Ah, my mind is a Rubik's Cube.
I love the 80s. Bent.
Is mad about, I guess, the Clark Duke wasn't, didn't return.
He's the only good thing.
The closest thing they got was that Duke Clark. He replaced.
They accidentally, it was like a wrong Missy scenario. They accidentally texted Duke Clark.
Yes, I'll be in Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Now that's a movie I can get behind.
So obviously we're coming back from a cut. Matt, I didn't know some of those words, but let's honor the lull as we did right before we started. It feels like everybody's out of steam. Yeah.
Goodbye.
This week on the Patreon, Carl and Hassan discuss splitting the check, the boys read the fans' episode ideas, and the flagrant ones are talking to Joe Mandy. Check out these bonus podcasts and videos of the full episodes, including today's with Gorley and Rust, at patreon.com/theflagrantones.
Hollywood Handbook. That was a HeadGum Podcast.